We would pray before every meal. Sometimes we'd use a memorized prayer like, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. By His hands all are fed, we thank the Lord for our daily bread. One year at church camp, I learned a new short blessing. Over the lips and through the gums, watch out stomach, here it comes, yay Jesus. Sometimes our observances are solemn, and sometimes they're celebratory. Sometimes they're both at the same time. Palm Sunday is just such a pairing of opposites. Palm Sunday is paradoxical. An oxymoron is paradoxical humor. And Palm Sunday is a paradoxical day. Palm Sunday is also sometimes called Passion Sunday. And that illustrates the two seemingly opposite facts. The joy of the coming King and the sorrow of the coming crucifixion. This day illustrates theology in general. Much of theology includes the willingness to hold two seemingly opposite facts in our minds at the same time. For example, we hold the fact that Jesus is fully human and fully divine in our mind at the same time. Another example is our affirmation that God is totally powerful, totally loving, yet evil and suffering exist. Richard Rohr, one of my favorite writers and thinkers, has said it this way: a paradox is something that initially looks like a contradiction, but if you go deeper with it and hold it longer or at a different level, it isn't necessarily so, end quote. Rohr continues by explaining that the seeming contradiction becomes what he calls a third thing, allowing for a very different perspective and giving a different pair of eyes beyond the mere either or. So what is this third thing that we're trying to grasp with palms and passion? Why have we included the concept of the passion into the joy of Palm Sunday? The Presbyterian Church explained it in its handbook to the Book on Common Worship as follows, quote, "The question is frequently asked, why combine the Passion and the Palms? First, it's in accord with historical tradition. Since at least the 4th century, the focus on the first day of Holy Week, or Great Week, has been the Passion of Christ. After a palm processional, a gospel passion narrative has been read. Western churches have kept the first day of Holy Week by concentrating on both the glory and the passion of Christ, recalling both the passion and the palms. Many people simply do not attend worship on Good Friday. The result is that for them, there's a distortion in the story. A story that skips from Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem to Jesus' resurrection from the dead evades the question, what happened in between? If we leap from Palm Sunday's hosannas to Easter Day's hallelujahs, we overlook the pivotal event of Christ's suffering and death on the cross. The journey to Jerusalem has the cross as its goal, and the cross needs to be kept in sight during the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The most important reason for combining the Passion and the Palms is the relationship between the death and the resurrection of Jesus. To understand the resurrection, we must contemplate the passion of Jesus. Long, careful meditation upon the mystery of the cross must precede the glorious message of Easter. On the one hand, an oversimplified theology of glory can undervalue Christ's death by implying that it is merely a stepping stone on the path to resurrection. On the other hand, an oversimplified theology of the cross can overvalue Christ's death as a work by implying that resurrection is merely a consequence of the passion. Instead, the cross and resurrection must be held together theologically. The extent to which we understand the resurrection of Jesus will be determined by our understanding of his passion, suffering, and death. Thus, the palm procession with ringing hosannas symbolically foreshadows the hallelujahs of God's promised future, when the risen Jesus will lead his people into a new Jerusalem. Thus, the 8-day week from Passion Palm Sunday to Easter Day is framed by resurrection and death on one side and death and resurrection on the other. The need to affirm, as Holy Week begins, the inseparable relationship between the death and the resurrection of Jesus is precisely the reason the Passion of Christ and the Palms are linked together as Passion/Palm Sunday. End quote. One year I tried to emphasize the cross more with a ritual where we drove nails into a cross while reading the solemn reproaches of the cross. I felt like ultimately that overemphasized the negative, so I've not done it again. However, the point remains. Jumping from the joy of Palm Sunday to the joy of Easter Sunday overlooks the very real suffering of Jesus and our part in that suffering. Solemnly progressing with Jesus toward Jerusalem over the 40 days of Lent is an important exercise. However, we should not miss out on the joy either. Have you noticed the weeks during which we observe Lent contain more than 40 days? Do you know why that is? It's good. It's because every Sunday during Lent is considered a little Easter and is not counted in the 40 days. Every Sunday is a break from the solemn observance of Lent. Now I tell you, right? In fact, those who observe some kind of fast during Lent are released from that requirement on Sundays. For example, for those of you who gave up chocolate for Lent, I hope you knew that you could eat chocolate on Sundays. Today is Sunday, Palm Sunday, the last little Easter before we celebrate Easter Sunday. And while we're still in Lent, we have something to cheer about. Yay, Jesus! I'm not saying that we need to forget the Passion. Far from it. I hope each of us will participate in the Holy Week services this week. Our joint Maundy Thursday service with Angel of Joy Lutheran Church will be held here, where we will remember the first Last Supper. Did you hear the paradox? first, last. Then again on Good Friday, this coming Friday, we will worship together here again with Angel of Joy as we remember the crucifixion and death of Jesus. These are key steps toward Easter, and I hope everyone will participate. But as we solemnly approach the cross, we need to also remember that Jesus' coming is something to cheer about. Jesus, fully human, fully divine, came to remind us who we are and whose we are. Jesus took on a real body in order that we might see God in a form that we can understand. Jesus walked on real roads that we might know that God is with us on the journey. Jesus healed real sickness that we might know God cares about our physical needs. Jesus came as our brother so that we might be reconciled to our loving parent, God. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's something to cheer about. Yes, Jesus came to die for us, but he also came to live for us. Yes, we will all die, but we're living now. Yes, we were created for everlasting life with God, but that everlasting life begins now. That is something to cheer about. Amen? Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's say together what we believe using the words printed in the bulletin adapted from the Confession of 1967. Please stand as you're able. What do you believe? God's reconciling act in Jesus Christ is a mystery which the Scriptures describe in various ways.